Shelley Shepherd Gray is in the studio with me tonight. She is one of our local New York Times bestselling authors, and we've talked with her before about the first two books in her Amish Brides of Pinecroft series, which is set in Sarasota, Florida. Tonight, we'll talk about the third book in the series titled A Wedding at the Orange Blossom Inn and a bonus book, A Christmas Bride in Pinecroft. Shelley, it's good to see you again.
Oh, thank you. I always love being here.
Certainly, we can say love is in bloom in Pinecroft, multiple blooms actually in these two books. So let's start with Wedding at Orange Blossom Inn, where we have two couples falling in love. One's younger, one's a little bit further along in life. So let's start with Emma and Jay. Who are they?
They are both. We talk about their being older, but they're really only in their 30s. But they have both been married before, and they are both widowed. And when I first told my editor about it, I described Wedding at Orange Blossom Inn as almost like an Amish Brady Bunch. And I guess in a way it is. My heroine, Emma, has three little girls. My hero has three older teenage boys. And they do meet, and they have a very nice romance in this book, along with Ben, who is my hero's eldest son. He falls in love, too. I have to tell you, though, the best part for me writing this book was Frankie the Beagle. There is a beagle that takes center stage from the first page to the last page, and maybe it was intentionally. We had a beagle, and my children loved her. She slept on my son's bed from the time she was born till when he went to college. But she was kind of a naughty dog. She always got into food and chocolate. Everything that's supposed to hurt dogs did not hurt her. And so in a way, although this is a romance set in Pinecroft about several couples, it also is a lot about this one dog.
It's interesting because each of these couples, you take us through the process of their falling in love and certainly through friendship developing. But each of them has a hurdle, if you will. A societal hurdle. So what challenge do they need to get over?
Well, I've had talks with several people about this because some people were under the impression that the Amish, maybe as soon as they were widowed, marriage and family is such a big part of their life that the Amish would automatically fall in love and get married again. Maybe that's true for some Amish, but the Amish I know, they just could be my neighbors. We have so much in common. But I think they also would realize that it's not necessarily that easy just to find a new person and fall in love. And so that's really the hurdle of my two people, my main couple, is that they do find themselves attracted to another person unexpectedly. And not only do they have to be willing to let the past behind, but for Emma especially, she has to overcome some hurdles that her relatives are putting in place. Both her parents and her ex-husband, dead husband's parents, like things just how they are. And what she comes to realize is they're afraid. They're afraid if she moves on, that means they need to move on also. And I think this might be something that a lot of people who have experienced loss in their life can relate to. It's not only is the grieving process difficult, but it's difficult to move forward because you know you need to leave the past behind. It might seem a little cliched, but I think it's true.
Yes. One of the interesting things I learned in this book is that Amish children typically go through the eighth grade. Is that still true? And then they become a part. It's really an agrarian society, yes?
So yeah, it's absolutely true. And even if, say, young men, they are not destined to become farmers. Maybe they're going to work in their father's woodworking shop or go work at a factory. In northern Ohio especially, there's many, many factories that the Amish work in. For example, like a garage door factory or, gosh, a lot of men make RV shells. But no matter what, it is customary for eighth grade to be a big graduation year. That's about when they are 14. And I think a lot of children, that is exactly fine with them. I've always imagined, though, especially if somebody loved learning, it would be a difficult process. It's an awfully young age to decide that you're done with schooling. And you're going to go follow in your parents' footsteps, especially since we've talked about this before. The Amish don't start their Rumspringa until after they graduate this eighth grade year. So they still have some running around to do before they even are baptized into the Amish faith.
Let's move on to what I call the bonus book. It's a novella, A Christmas Bride in Pinecroft, because we've seen Beverly Overholt in the background through all the series, and she really comes into her own in this book. But she too has both romantic and professional hurdles that she needs to cross. So tell us about Beverly.
You know, I happen to be really fond of Beverly Overholt. She is the heroine of Christmas Bride in Pinecroft. When I developed the series, I knew I wanted there to be one character to have enough of a story to last through four books. I needed her to be complex, and I personally feel like I was able to accomplish this with Beverly. She is the first point of view and The Promise of Palm Grove, the very first book in the series. And then finally, yes, this Christmas book is her story. And I wanted to set things up just a little bit crazy for her, if you will. One of the things that I had liked about Beverly is that she had had a difficult engagement. That's why she had come to Pinecroft in the first place. She had been jilted, and she clung to her business and her career and making this orange blossom in the most perfect place that she could imagine. And so, being kind of a sneaky writer thing, I thought, well, what's the worst thing that could happen to her, at least that she thought? And it would be that her business gets broken into, that her business is in jeopardy. And so that's how the novel opens, is that she comes back from a little bit of Christmas shopping and she finds some police cars in front of her precious inn. And she realizes that someone has threatened her inn. The first person she calls is Eric Wegler, who is the man she has had a friendship with through all four books. He's also her boss. He owns the inn. She calls him really to apologize that she hadn't been staying in her inn 24/7 and allowed something to happen. And to her surprise, he jumps on the first plane and rushes to her side.
Yes, yes.
That's how the novel opens.
And we are off and running from there. Speaking of that, I know you're a prolific writer, so I'm guessing you have something new in the works. Give us a preview.
I do. I'm so thankful right now because I am currently writing next year's Christmas book. Sometimes that's not the case. I'll end up having to write a Christmas book in February or March, which is difficult because I've already put all the Christmas decorations away and I'm kind of over Christmas by then. And I'm still playing Christmas music in my office when I write. But anyway, the reason I'm writing next year's Christmas book is there's four more books in next year's series, and it's all set in Charm, Ohio. I've completed three of them, and I have one more to work on. I'm particularly excited about this series because in Charm, which is right next to Sugar Creek and Walnut Creek and Berlin, many places I've written about a lot, there's a giant lumber mill. It's really the heart of Charm. It's called Kimes Lumber. It's beautiful. I decided to create my own lumber mill that was a lot like Kimes. And it's a whole family drama about the people that own this mill. The novel opens 99 days after there had been a fire at the mill and five people had died. So there's a lot of tension and grieving and drama and wondering what to do next with the mill, with their lives, and with the future of the town.
We'll look forward to hearing more about it.
I'm excited about it. I'm really pleased with how this series is going, which I'm surprised because I loved writing these books in Pinecroft. I'd actually asked if I could write four more, and I was told very politely, no. So we're moving back to Ohio, so I hope everyone will enjoy those books too.
I'm sure. Thanks for being with us,
Shelley. Oh, thank you. It's always a joy to be here.
I've been talking with Shelley Shepherd Gray about her latest and final books in her Amish Brides of Pinecroft series. They are titled A Wedding at the Orange Blossom Inn and A Christmas Bride in Pinecroft. You'll find more information about both at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.